You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show on Indy's Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports.
Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Always joining me is the biggest Jeff Gordon fan I know, Maxwell Gilley.
What up, Indy?
How are you, buddy?
It is a good day because we are oh so close. It is nearly the month of May, and when we get to the month of May, you just immediately start thinking 500. We are 32 days away from the greatest spectacle in racing. I'm excited.
How are you doing today, bud?
Doing it good.
Doing good. Glad to hear it, Max. Glad to hear it. I'm excited as well. Last but not least, I'm joined by the one, the only, Owen Poley. How are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing great.
Doing great. Let's dive into your NASCAR news, ladies and gentlemen. The NASCAR Xfinity Series on Saturday, April 22nd at Talladega Super Speedway. Jeb Burton wins for it's a small team, really small team. But anyway, Jeb Burton, he won at Talladega. Max, what are your thoughts?
It's great when you can see someone from a young team get the win there. Shout out to Jeb. This Xfinity Series has been really competitive this year. I'm excited about that. Sometimes it feels like there's really just going to be only one battle, and then no one else is going to have a chance, but this year's been very competitive, so I'm excited.
Jordan Anderson Racing. I fact-checked myself there. Great for him. A small team guy, racing the Truck Series. The owner did at one point, and just to see him, you know, doing successful in the Xfinity Series, getting a win at Talladega. I mean, Jeb Burton's one of the best restrictor plate racers in the Xfinity Series, so it's great to see there. Great result for Parker Kligerman, finishing third. Cole Custer with fourth. Two great results in a row, two top fives in a row for Cole Custer. Fifth, Brendan Poole for JD Motorsports. What a great result for him, Max.
I mean, this is Talladega. You never know what can happen when you're there. But I love seeing the smaller teams doing well. Shout out to Cole Custer. We saw that the Xfinity Series is something that clearly he was good at. I mean, he's a former champion. He obviously knows what it takes to win. He has some decent equipment. So I'm intrigued for sure to see what can happen. But I understand starting out the season a bit rough just because you're having to go from the next-gen Cup car back down to the Xfinity Series is obviously going to be different. But now it seems like he's going to start being competitive. And don't be surprised if we see him eventually start getting some wins.
Yeah, it's great to see Cesar Baccarola finishing sixth. Greg Golding in eighth. Joey Gase in ninth. And Josh Williams, he parked it at Atlanta on that Super Speedway. Him finishing 10th, that's kind of ironic. Both the Super Speedway tracks, and he finishes at the 10th position at Talladega.
Man, he's a great character for NASCAR. He has a great social media. That viral moment has really helped him. And the biggest thing about it is he's just laughing about it. Everyone in NASCAR is laughing about it now, too. There's no really bad blood or anything. So I'm glad to see that he's actually being competitive now as well because, like I said, he's getting more sponsorship. And now that he's being more competitive, hey, he's going to keep getting more. And I'd love to see him eventually getting much better equipment one day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was your results for the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Talladega. Moving on to the NASCAR Cup Series, Sunday, April 23rd from Talladega Super Speedway. Kyle Busch wins an eventful Talladega race last weekend. Max, what are your thoughts?
Man, Kyle Busch is someone I swear we keep talking about every single week. It seems like he's had a almost revitalization of his career, and it's not like he's a young guy. He's been doing this for a while. It's great to see him be competitive in that 8 car. We knew that the 8 car was competitive, but I think Kyle Busch has just really brought RCR to a new level. And yeah, he's still, we said this after the first few races, but he still is my favorite to win the Cup Series championship. He's just been consistent all season long.
Yes, sir. Much agreed, Max. Yeah, Kyle Busch, he hasn't won at a restrictor plate, and wow, it has been a long time since he's won a restrictor plate race. I mean, I think his last win was like 2000. It's like it has to be like over 9 years ago. His last restrictor plate win.
I mean, it was, what, 15 years since he'd won at Talladega?
Yeah.
Just in general?
Yeah.
It's crazy that he's much older with a brand new team. You'd think that he'd be struggling to start out with, but, man, that's just been a perfect fit for him. So he may no longer be the candy man because he doesn't have any of the sponsorship from them anymore.
He did have McLaren on the car, though.
Clearly McLaren can bring some speed there outside of F1.
First win of the season for McLaren on a NASCAR. Just makes me chuckle. Shout out to Chase Briscoe finishing fourth for Stuart Haas Racing. Was a lap down earlier in the race. Had to fight his way all the way back and fights his way back to fourth place. Max, your thoughts?
It's insane. This guy just had surgery on his hand. It's still broken, like, two races in a row, and he's still just being an absolute wheel man over there and bringing it to a very competitive Stewart Haas Racing car. I mean, like we said last week, Kevin Harvick hasn't been having the results, but I'm telling you, watch out for Chase Briscoe because it seems like the 14 Stewart Haas Racing Ford Mustang is going to be the car to watch out for next year.
All their cars looked extremely strong in that Talladega race. Just we'll get into the incident that kind of ruined Eric Almirola and Kevin Harvick's chances of winning at Talladega. Shout out to Eric Jones finishing sixth for Legacy Motorsports. Good result for them.
They really needed that because since they rebranded to Legacy Motorsport, I don't know what has happened, but they went from being competitive last year, truly, to being one of the, I hate to say it, but one of the worst teams in the Cup Series, just to start out with. So I'm really glad to see that Eric Jones can finally get some positive momentum.
Todd Gilliland finishing 10th at Talladega for Front Row Motorsports. Another great result for Todd Gilliland. Looked extremely strong at Martinsville. He's been having a really underrated season so far.
I mean, that's the thing with Front Row Motorsports. How many times this season have we said Front Row Motorsports to the top 10? They are truly a team to watch out for each and every single week. You may not realize that every single time, but they're like silent assassins, and they've been this way even the season before Michael McDowell won the Daytona 500, but specifically since this next-gen car, it has really helped Front Row Motorsports.
Yes, sir, Max. Yeah, that Front Row Motorsports next-gen car, I should say the next-gen cars really helped Front Row Motorsports. You look at Michael McDowell as well. Last season, he had his best season ever in the NASCAR Cup Series due to this new next-gen car. The Talladega shuffle from lap 190 to the end, I'm just going to go through it. Okay, lap 190, Ryan Blaney is leading. He finishes second. Noah Gregson is second, and he finishes 32nd. So he restarts second on lap 190, finishes 32nd. We're gonna talk about that. Ross Chastain on lap 190, he makes a three wide on the restart, and he basically shoves Noah Gregson out the way, and kind of just the chance of Kevin Harvick and Eric Almirola having a chance to win that race out the window.
Wait, you're telling me that Ross Chastain was aggressive on a restart? Color me shocked. No, it's unfortunate for sure if you were rooting for those two, but you got to realize with Ross Chastain, he's sometimes a bull in a china shop, and you're going to be collected sometimes.
Yeah, I just was not a fan of that move. You're on lap 190, you restart, you just basically move Noah Gregson out the way, just cause a huge pileup, just didn't look good. So Ross Chastain restarted fourth on lap 190, finishes 23rd. My man, Kevin Harvick, restarted fifth on lap 190, ends up 21st at the end of the race. Kyle Larson restarted sixth on one lap 190 and finishes 33rd. Ty Gibbs restarted in the seventh position on lap 190, ends in 31st. Kyle Busch restarted eighth on lap 190 and finishes first. You know, he was going to pit, and then he stays out, and it just all works into his favor. He was like, got to take chances, and him and he just took a chance, and it worked out for Kyle Busch.
Yeah, 100%. It was a good result for sure. And real quick, shout out to Austin Cindric and Martin Truex Jr. As Kyle Busch was being interviewed on the front stretch, you saw both of them slowly crawling trying to finish the race with broken race cars. I got to give them credit.
You got
to
give them credit.
100%. That was the most entertaining finish I've seen in quite some time.
It's like Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby and John Girard running to the finish line. I love that.
I mean, that would have been more effective. Those cars were just really crawling. It was funny. So shout out to... And Austin Cindric, by the way, has a great sense of humor as well. I really appreciate what he's been doing in the Cup Series.
AJ Allmendinger restarted 9th on lap 190, finishes 29th, and Bubba Wallace... Well, we were coming to one lap to go, and he was leading, makes a block on Ryan Blaney. He gets turned. He restarted 10th on lap 190, finishes 28th. What are your thoughts on that move by Bubba Wallace? Was it just too late, or was he he had to block? All right, what do you think?
I just think that it was just more unlucky than anything. I think that it was a bit too late when he tried to pull that move, and he unfortunately, in a track that he has done well at before, ends up finishing near the back, which sucks because I know there's always been a bunch of Bubba Wallace fans there, specifically just because that's a track he's been doing so well at.
Some NASCAR 75 greatest drivers. We have some new drivers added to that. 28-time NASCAR Cup Series winner, Carl Edwards, was added to the 75 greatest drivers. What are your thoughts, Max?
I'm so happy that he is he's going to be there. I always have enjoyed seeing him. The biggest thing with this 75 list I'm really wondering is when you've seen some of the more recent guys, I just want to make sure we don't have some of those older 90s guys get left out. That's a big fear, that or early 2000s guys who should be on the list. I feel like some of it'll be interesting to see when this list is officially done, who gets left out.
Yes, sir, Max. It was great to see Carl Edwards. Man, he was a great driver. Fan favorite since day one. I really liked him when he was at Roush, was at Joe Gibbs. I mean, I never was a Toyota fan, but I'd root for Carl Edwards. He was a great guy, great personality as well for NASCAR. Speaking of your 90s guys, a driver that really never gets talked about, Ron Hornaday Jr., four-time Craftsman Truck Series champion, was added to the NASCAR 75 Greatest Drivers. It's just great to see Ron Hornaday Jr. Fan favorite. I'm a fan of his. My grandma is a fan of his. He's just a great guy, and it's just great to see one of those truck guys get added to the list.
I mean, that's one of the most important things, too, when you look at the history of NASCAR. You got to remember those Busch guys. We saw that with Randy LaJoie. We got to remember the Truck Series as well, so I'm really excited to see that. It's not just going to be Cup guys that they're on,
yeah,
right?
And he was a 90s driver as well. Drove that good wrench Chevrolet back in the day in the 90s when the Truck Series was just getting started. Man, those were the days, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, Saturday, April 29th at 1:30 p.m. You can catch them at Dover International Speedway on Fox Sports 1. And then the NASCAR Cup Series will be at Dover International Speedway Sunday, April 30th at 2 o'clock p.m., and you can catch it on Fox Sports 1. That's going to wrap it up for the NASCAR news, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a 44-second break here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. Coming up next, Maxwell Gilley will do some of the IndyCar news since our boy Garrett Burkle. I have not seen him in the studio today, ladies and gentlemen, but Max does a great job with the NASCAR stuff, so he'll add some input for the IndyCar stuff. We're going to take a 44-second break here on Indy's Giant 90.9. And come back up next, we'll be the All Gas No Brakes Radio Show. We'll see you later.
Hey, yo, Big Nelly, check this.
What's up, Big Rob?
I need you to check this song for me.
Hey, Big Rob, where can I find more of this?
You can find more good music like this on the 57th Marathon, a 5th and 6th on Indy's Giant 90.9. We'll have good music and prizes.
Prizes?
Yes, prizes. We'll be giving away gift cards, t-shirts, and tickets, and a whole lot more. We'll even be having some guests to interview during the marathon.
That sounds like a lot of fun, Rob. I'll make sure to tune in.
You should.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Alongside me is the great Maxwell Gilley and the one and only Owen Pulley. Max, you ready for some IndyCar news?
Yes, sir. Real quickly, we're going to see the 100 Days to Indy on the CW I believe it's going to be airing on the 29th. That's a Saturday. You'll be able to watch that live on CW, and then it'll be online on Vice, the sports. Anyway, here's the thing. More importantly, we got to look at the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix, April 28th through the 30th. That is the next IndyCar race. It's going to be very exciting at the 90-lap track there. I'm actually really excited about it because it's been a track that has
very
been...
very underrated.
Yeah,
as well.
It's been dominated. I got to get a correction. 100 Days to Indy is going to be actually Thursday at 9. Apologies there. But it's been a track dominated by Penske, except for the last few years we saw Pato O'Ward most recently get the win there. So, hey, it is almost time for the month of May, as I was saying. This is one of the final tune-ups before the cars go onto the track at Indy, but I'm really excited to see. So we got practice happening Friday from 3:40 to 4:55. You can watch it on Peacock or, the much better option, IndyCar Radio. But the big thing, race day, Sunday the 30th, 3 to 6 p.m. on NBC, Peacock, IndyCar Live, SiriusXM, and IndyCar Radio. So again, this 90-lap, 2.3-mile permanent road course with 17 different turns. It should be a very exciting race there.
Yes, sir, Max. I'm really excited. I'm expecting, you know, like you said, Team Penske dominance. It's been dominated by Penske in the last few years. Look for Will Power to be strong, Joseph Newgarden, and Scott McLaughlin. I'm expecting Pato O'Ward to be really strong, and that Air McLaren SP. Don't count out Alexander Rossi as well, or Felix Rosenqvist. But I think a team that people are sleeping on, we saw, you know, Andretti Autosport really look strong on these road courses and street courses. They won with Kyle Kirkwood at Long Beach. They about won at St. Pete with Roman Grosjean. But expect them to be extremely strong because Hondas are a lot stronger when it comes to the road courses. They get two laps extra fuel than the Chevys. So look for some Honda dominance as well at Barber Motorsports Park. Max, what are your thoughts on the Hondas? Do you think they're going to be pretty strong?
Usually they are, but I don't know, man. I just got a feeling that it's going to be Chevy.
Chevy?
I really feel like Chevy, that program, has been specifically doing well there. But you never know what can happen. Either way, it's going to be an interesting race to see for sure. Also, shout out to everyone who attended the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. There was IndyCar practice. Only one day of practice, but, you know, it's always interesting when you can see the IndyCar practice. We get to see some of the liveries or paint jobs, whichever way you want to say it. Depends on how you feel. But, no, it was a good day for the one day of practice that we had. Obviously, day two had to immediately get canceled. But
yep.
Joseph Newgarden
was
the one who had he was the quickest during practice. Now, I understand this is practice. We're not even in the month of May. But when you look at a Joseph Newgarden program that really has struggled at the Motor Speedway with Team Penske, that's the only, truly feels like the only thing left for Joseph Newgarden to conquer.
Yeah.
When you can see him being competitive this season. He talked about it, how Penske has been specifically working on his ride to make sure he can be competitive. He has a Shell-backed sponsor, Shell, the official fuel provider of the Motor Speedway now. I really think that don't be surprised if we can see Joseph Newgarden actually finally be competitive at the Motor Speedway.
Yeah, the thing with Joseph Newgarden is he is one of the best oval racers in the IndyCar series. You look at Gateway, you look at Texas, you look at Iowa. He's won all three of those ovals, and the only thing he has to accomplish is the crown jewel, the Indianapolis 500. I'm pulling for him. You know me, Max. I'm a big Team Penske guy. You know, I'm a big Newgarden fan. You know, me and Garrett get into it a little bit. You know, he does not like Newgarden whatsoever, but, you know, it's all good. We get into it, but I'm expecting Joseph Newgarden to be really strong, and I hope he can win his first Indianapolis 500. I might cry if he does.
It's going to be interesting for sure. One other driver I need you guys to watch out for. I've been rooting for him the past 2 years, and I've been wrong every single time, but I think this year I may finally be right because Takuma Sato with Chip Ganassi now. It's very competitive with a team that is very good at the Motor Speedway. Don't be surprised if Indy 500 win number 3 for Takuma Sato this season.
Yeah, Max. I mean, he's going to be a 3-time Indianapolis 500 champion if he wins this 500, and he will join the likes of Bobby Unser, Johnny Rutherford, and Louis Meyer for 3-time winners. So is Dario Franchini. Some great names of 3-time winners. Owen, what are your thoughts, bud?
I think it's going to be an Aaron McLaren. I think one of those four drivers is going
to
win, and
I'd
think it's going
to
be.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I'd love to see one of those liveries just get to victory lane.
They're great.
Sick.
But I think it's going to be one of the drivers that already has one that's not named Alexander Rossi.
Oh,
interesting.
People talk about the 2016 Indianapolis 500 and it kind of being like sort of a fluke.
Oh, no, that's not.
What?
Not,
no, we were talking about
Tony Kanaan.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking
about. No. The one that's not named Alexander Rossi.
I'm going to be 100% an Indy 500 apologist here. Why in the world would you complain about that race? It was great strategy from Brian Herta. And to have an Alexander Rossi Andretti car, which, by the way, came into the month of May with no sponsorship, to have that rookie win the 100th running at the Indy 500, if you do not think that that was good racing, then you're just not a good racer.
It was a great race.
It was. I'm just saying, that, you know, people just not a fan because, oh, he won it on fuel strategy, this and that. But you look in the years that Alexander Rossi has been at Indy, he's been extremely competitive. I mean, I don't know. That's just because, I mean, it was a fuel strategy race. It was kind of like, eh. So, I mean, I could see that.
So, what are we running with right now, Takuma Sato for Max? Who's your pick?
My pick?
You said Newgarden?
It's either, okay.
Choose one. Right now.
Stingray
one,
Rob.
Choose one right now.
No, I'm going with RC Anderson, actually.
You know what?
Devlin DeFrancesco.
give me Joseph Newgarden. There you go. That's my pick.
Give me Jack Harvey.
Jack Harvey?
No, I want Rinus VK.
If he can not crash out first, I'll be trusting him. But until then, he needs to be able to finish the race high, not just qualify high, before I can choose him. Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Well, you're not rooting for David Malukas of Dale Coyne Racing?
I'd like to see David Malukas win. That'd be pretty exciting. I'd love that.
I'm rooting for anyone.
Oh. And Mr. Easter's pick is Padua Ward, ladies and gentlemen. He is nodding his head, ladies and gentlemen.
I figured he was going to say that.
He's been on the Padua Ward train
for a while. Station director here at Indy's Giant 90.9. Mr. Easter, his pick is Padua Ward. That's a great pick. It's a great pick.
I
was just about to say, this is the best time of the year because we can finally talk about the Indy 500 now. And not have people be like, it's February. The season hasn't even started. Why are you already making predictions now?
I think that with Pato, the biggest thing is it's always something with him. It's either he's not racing good in that race. Like we saw in the streets of Long Beach, he was just like a bull in a china shop. You know, we mentioned that early in the NASCAR with Ross Chastain. He's like a bull in a china shop. He had that incident with Scott Dixon. Now, that was a little different. But, like, there was a couple more incidents where he had. But also, I think that with him, it's always something that he either has like an engine problem. We saw that in St. Petersburg, or something going on with his car.
Yeah, Owen, I agree. I really agree. Much agree to your point there. I think it's not just been him, but I think it's Aaron McLaren as a whole.
Oh, for sure. I mean the car stuff isn't on him.
You look at Rossi as well at Long Beach. He had to park it. He drove right into the tire barrier because something went wrong. It was bad. So it's just reliability issues have been kind of a thorn in Aaron McLaren's side a little bit. But I mean, I really hope that, you know, I think they do have the best lineup coming into this Indianapolis 500. You have Tony Kanaan, 2013 Indianapolis 500 winner, 2016 winner of Alexander Rossi, the 100th running winner. Pat Award, a youngster who's up and coming and can contend for championships in the near future. I expect him to win many more this coming in his career.
And Felix Rosenquist, who's in his last season actually at Aaron McLaren Racing in his final 500 in the black and orange.
As it stands right now.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. By the way, Real quickly, I want to give some drivers to watch out for. Callum Ilott, he was decent last year. He's been looking really good this year. He's not going to win. He may get a top 10. I wouldn't be surprised. And then someone who's been great at the Motor Speedway, I know he's with AJ Foy, but I'm really intrigued to see if Santino Ferrucci can get a top 10 again.
I mean, he was a sneaky top guy last year. He finished well.
I was rooting for him. I had him as a dark horse last year. He finished higher than my boy Takuma Sato. In all seriousness, it's going to be fun. I'm really excited about it. I'll be there in some capacity. There's a fan or working, but I'm really excited to see this year's Indy 500. 32 days away, and it cannot come any sooner.
This is Pato Award's results at the Indianapolis 500. So 2019, he didn't qualify. 2020, he finished sixth. 2021, he finished fourth. 2022, he finished second. So it's only up from here for Pato Award. I have a feeling that I'd love to see Pato Award win the Indianapolis 500. I just think Arrow McLaren as a whole has the best driver lineup coming into this Indianapolis 500. Like I said, it'd be cool if Tony Kanaan won in his final start. But you cannot count out the Chip Ganassi boys. Scott Dixon, I mean, I feel like he should be a multiple-time winner of this Indianapolis 500. I mean, wow. When it comes to qualifying, that guy is fantastic. Has a rocket ship, knows where to put that car, qualify. I mean, he could have won in 2022 if it wasn't for that penalty on pit road, but he looked like he had the fastest car all day long, and he was just strong out front.
I mean, that's been the thing with Scott Dixon. He's had the fastest car, but then there's just some issue. If you remember when Takuma Sato last won, Dixon finished second because the race finished under yellow.
Oliver
Askew, that was unfortunate. But, I mean, we can look at Alex Palou, if you remember, in his inaugural Chip Ganassi 500. He finishes in second behind Elio Castroneves. He was doing well last year. So Marcus Ericsson, he's going to be coming in with a lot of eyes on him. I could just go through the entire Chip Ganassi list. They are going to be competitive as well. It's going to come from someone who is in Chip Ganassi or Arrow McLaren. I know that's not a big
upset.
What a
take, Max.
A huge take there.
Chip Ganassi or Arrow McLaren, wow, what a take.
I understand, but no, it's not. It's going to be interesting to see for sure. I mean, Andretti's been looking better. I just don't think that Andretti is going to be able to get a win at the Motor Speedway.
And we talk about Marcus Ericsson, the defending champ, and also driving alongside him in the field. Well, obviously because of bump day, but I don't think any of those guys will get bumped. We have eight former champions, including Marcus Ericsson, so nine in total. Nine former champions running in this year's race.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited to see Ryan Hunter-Reay being back, too. He's going to be really fun to see in a car that can be competitive as well and not doing a full-time. He was talking about this in one of his interviews, how he enjoyed the fact that, hey, he can be doing sports car racing and he can choose which IndyCar race he wants to do, which is the 500.
Yeah, that's awesome. Ryan Hunter-Reay, 2014 Indianapolis 500 was probably one of the best. Battle with him and Elio coming down to the wire, and Ryan Hunter-Reay was the winner. Do you guys think that Ari Leindyke's record will be broke at this coming Indianapolis 500? Do you guys have a feeling? Because Ari Leindyke himself was like, just someone break my record already. He said in an interview with The Race a couple of years back, like, someone just stopped talking about it. But
what was his record?
Almost 237 miles per
237
hour.
237 and
234 last year.
And Dixon was 234.
Yeah, it's coming close.
I don't know. Because, I mean, when you look at the qualifying and they do the boost, like the fuel inject, whatever, and then they do everything that they can to just shave off stuff, I think that's when you get toe the line of dangerous.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll go any higher than they can. I mean, when they can figure out a way to go higher with also being safe, like it's a linear line. You got to be able to keep the amount of safety and speed linear. You can't be going too much speed, not enough safety, stuff like that. So I think that once they can figure out how to get faster safely, it'll happen. So expect the next coming years for Leindyke's record to be gone.
You talked about it, safety being the most important thing. If they can get to 235 this year, I'll be shocked just because Dixon barely was able to get 234 right now, but it's going to be interesting to see for sure. There's no drivers are going to be trying to just attempt to, hey, be the fastest just to be Aaron Leyendijk's record, but it could happen. If it happens within this decade, I'll be surprised. I'll say that.
1996, he has the track record. Ari Leyendijk, and it still stands. Just watching that lap, you pull it up on YouTube and just watching what a lap that was, man, it just – and then the announcer going, a new track record, and I'm like, wow, that's just incredible. But, yeah.
It's a new track record.
It's just – it's incredible, but – I mean, it's going to be a really exciting Indianapolis 500. I expect to be there. I'll try to be there. Might be sitting in the general admission area with my friends. I really want to go sit, you know, obviously in the grandstands. But, you know, money's it's a lot of money. So money talks. So no pun intended for AC/DC right there. But, I mean, you know, I expect to be there. Are you guys expecting to be at the Indianapolis 500 this year?
On the infield.
I'll either be there in the crowd or I'll be there, like I said, in a working capacity. I'm not quite sure how the schedule is going to be working yet, but we're working on it right now. I'll just say that. It's going to be fun either way, but I'm excited to get to be there. I've been going, obviously, since the 100th running. I missed, of course, 2020. But
not according to Doug Bowles.
I did watch it live. I will give him credit. I was there watching as well as I could. I'm excited to see when David Land can finally interview those people who said they snuck into the track. He said they got to wait a couple more years for the statutes of limitations
right.
to go, because he saw there was the one guy in the tree, but I know there are a lot more people who managed to get their way on the property. So I'm excited to see what can happen there. And real quickly, I don't think we have showered him with praise quite enough. What Roger Penske has done to the Motor Speedway just the last few years. They did a lot of changes before him as they were getting ready for the 100th running, and those changes were good, but man, you just see all the new paint that he's done. One thing I really appreciated as someone who was in the grandstands is you look up and you have just a monitor of the Indy 500 right in front of you, because where I sit, I'm in turn four, right literally in front of pit road. I see that entrance there, so I look, I can see some of turn three when it's not by the not covered by the snake pit. I can see the short chute, turn four, and then about half of the front stretch. So good seats, but we got that little monitor there above us to just be able to follow the race a little bit more. It's very helpful like that. So shout out to Mr. Penske. I've seen him once. I didn't have a chance to talk with him because he was doing a power walk, so I could tell that he was trying to make sure the track was running smooth, but no, a shout out to him.
I would like to thank Mr. Penske as well. Where we sit in the back stretch at turn, or kind of close to turn three, closer to turn three than turn two, and we can see turn two when they come out of the apex. You can see them all down the back stretch and then into turn three and a little bit of the short chute, so we can see them go three wide there. And actually, last year I was walking around the track with my friend. And we started off in 2016. It was just me and my friend and our dads. And then we've gotten some more baseball friends that have come. And, you know, we really have a good time. But last year I was walking around the track with my friend. And we come back and we found out Romain Grosjean had crashed. And the tow truck that was picking up Grosjean's car drove right by us. Like, if I reached out my hand, I could have touched the side pod of Romain Grosjean's car.
Yeah, that's incredible. I expect to be there. So we have a foreign exchange student at our school. She's good friends with me and my buddy. So she's from Spain, and we're going to see if we can all go because, like, you know, she's going to have to go back to Spain because she's a foreign exchange student, which it really sucks. She's a really nice person. But, you know, you got to – you know, while you're here, I mean – you got to experience the Indianapolis 500,
get her a tenderloin.
Baby.
Get her a tenderloin.
Oh, my gosh.
And get her at the Motor Speedway.
Dude,
and then
you
she will
me.
For sure be
you
a
know
hooter.
Me. I love my tenderloins. You know me. I love my tenderloins. Yeah. Big Nelly at the Motor Speedway, ladies and gentlemen.
That's her. That is her introduction to officially becoming an Indiana Hoosier.
Tenderloin Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Oh, man, the 500. Yeah, we expect to go. It should be exciting. If we have general admission, who cares? We're going to have a blast. It should be a fun time. But, you know, one team we are sleeping on, we have not talked about, is Meyer Shank Racing with Elio Castroneves and Simon Pagenaud. Do you guys think they're going to be competitive this coming Indianapolis 500?
I think that they're going to be more competitive than they were last year, but again, we talked about how the Andretti program as a whole has been struggling at the Motor Speedway the last few years. If people didn't know, Meyer Shank is in a partnership with Andretti Autosport. It has officially become essentially two different Andretti cars. So, no, I don't think that they're going to be nearly as competitive. But if they are, I'll be excited. And also, we need to have a serious discussion with whoever decides the liveries, because we should not be having three cars look nearly identical.
Yeah, we have the Simon Pagenaud and Elio Castroneves, and then the Kyle Kirkwood at Andretti.
If you look at Texas with, you know, Andretti Autosport, they were not competitive on that oval whatsoever. They really struggled against the Chevys. So did Meyer Shank, but you cannot count out four-time Indianapolis 500 champion Elio Castroneves.
I mean, here's the thing. When you look at Meyer Shank Racing, this is truly one of the most important races for him. They just started out as an Indy-only team. Then they eventually got full-time. Now they have two cars, and they are looking to be competitive. But this is it's important for them to really do well at the Motor Speedway. So I think that they're going to try and focus this year a lot more on Indy than just trying to be competitive all last year. It was difficult for them because you got to remember, they went from a one-car team to two for the first time. So at least was having Simon Pagenaud now. So it was going to be a transition for sure.
When he joined Meyer Shank, Simon Pagenaud, I feel like I overhyped a lot. I mean, I think we all expected for them to be extremely competitive. You're bringing a champion to Meyer Shank. You're bringing an Indianapolis 500 champion to Meyer Shank. You thought they'd be extremely, doing extremely well. But I didn't. I thought that they'd be doing, a lot better this season. I expected, maybe the first year, just to get, your feet in the water and get going a little bit, just, getting a rhythm. But, I mean, I feel like, I would have expected a lot more from Meyer Shank with the addition of Simon Pagenaud.
It's going to be fun to see for sure either way. And, all right, race fans, get ready, because you're going to have these episodes, as we get closer and closer, go a bit more from F1. And NASCAR to being more focused on IndyCar because it is nearly time for the greatest single-day sporting event, the greatest spectacle in racing. I'm so excited.
Guys, are we wrapped up on IndyCar? Are we good? All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for the IndyCar news segment of the All Gas and No Brakes Radio, only on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. You guys should listen to us on Audio Boom as well, if you're not already, or on live radio. But we're going to take a one-minute break here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. Coming up next is Owen Pulley with the Formula One news. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen.
Giants lead 2-1 on bottom of the fifth. There's the hit. Lewis runs through first base. He looks like he just ran a marathon.
Speaking of marathon, WBDG is having their 57th radio marathon May 5th through the 6th.
What are you talking about, man? Just analyze the game.
Speaking of talking, WBDG will be talking to guests and playing music.
Enough of this marathon. Call the game.
That reminds me, you can call at 317-244-9234 to request music for the marathon. And don't worry, they'll be playing 40 straight hours of it, so you can request at any time.
This is the championship game. Focus on the game.
Sorry, I got distracted.
Good. Now then, Giants lead 2-1, and it seems like they're going to win the grand prize.
On the topic of prizes,
oh no,
WBDG's 57th marathon will be giving out 40 prizes. All you have to do is call in at our prize line.
Stop distracting me. I already forgot what happened.
Oh, sorry.
Let's just get back to the game.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the All Gas No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Alongside me is the great Maxwell Gillian, the one and only Owen Pulley. Owen, take it away with your Formula One news. Rapid fire, bud.
It's race weekend in Azerbaijan at the Azerbaijan Grand Prix in Baku. And we see the actual race heading on this Sunday on April 30th. But we also see new sprint race rules coming in for 2023. They're back. They're back last year, but they are back for a new look featuring the brand new Sprint Saturday, a standalone day for the Sprint Shootout and the F1 Sprint. And the grid is set by qualifying on Friday. Saturday Sprint Shootout is a shorter version of qualifying, will form the starting order for the F1 Sprint later that day. So they have their own qualifying that is for the Sprint. It's not qualifying that decides the Sprint grid. It is a Sprint qualifying that decides the Sprint grid.
Yes, sir, Max. Yes, sir, Owen. Should be extremely excited. Exciting. Wow, I just had a brain fart there. But it should be exciting. I can't wait for Sprint weekend from Azerbaijan. I expect Sergio Perez to get the win in Azerbaijan this weekend.
The street course god, Sergio Perez. But we also see Azerbaijan, Austria, Belgium, Qatar, USA. That is the Austin race in Circuit of Americas, and Brazil. And it's 100 kilometers. Lasting around 30 minutes, the Sunday Grand Prix length is unchanged, so that's not going to be shortened or lengthened at all. Drivers can make a pit stop during the sprint, but it's not compulsory. And top 8 score points in the F1 sprint, while P1 getting 8 points down to P8 getting 1 point. So it'll go down in a 1-by-1 form. So 8 points to first place, 7 points for second place, and so on and so forth, down to 8th place. So the 2023 structure in total, Friday, practice 1, and Grand Prix qualifying, Sprint Saturday, instead of having FP1 and FP2 on Thursday, Friday, and then just on Friday, and then Saturday being FP3 and qualifying, you have Sprint Shootout and the F1 Sprint, and then Sunday is the Grand Prix. So the slowest 5 cars get eliminated. After Q2, the slowest five cars get eliminated as well. And then on Q3, it is mandatory soft tires. But they go mandatory medium and mandatory medium for Q1 and Q2.
Looking exciting, Owen. Looking very exciting. I love Azerbaijan. A great track. The track of unexpectedness. You never know what's going to happen. Crashing to the castle section. Tire barriers. It's just an exciting race. And fast speeds down that long front stretch. Make some great passing action. So I'm really looking forward to that race at Azerbaijan. Hey, Owen, could you go over the championship standings real quick, Owen, please?
Yeah, let me pull that up real quick when we get the standings going. But Red Bull is really dominating right now as Max Verstappen in first place with 69 points. Sergio Perez in second with 54 points. Fernando Alonso in third with 45 points. Hamilton in fourth with 38 points. And Carlos Sainz in fifth with 20 points. But we also see an Aston Martin in sixth with 20 points and Lance Stroll. But we mentioned earlier a couple episodes ago that if we see Fernando Alonso get the win, I don't even think he needs fastest lap. If he gets the win, and we see a double DNF by Sergio Perez and Max Verstappen. So if we see a Red Bull double DNF and a Fernando Alonso win, Alonso will be in the lead for the Drivers' Championship.
Yeah, Mr. Alonso has been doing outstanding so far this season. He's had a podium in every single race so far this season, doing a fantastic job for Aston Martin. I mean, age is just a number to Fernando Alonso. He's still driving like he's in his prime, ladies and gentlemen.
No, most definitely. He's driving like he's with McLaren, Mercedes, Renault, all those years ago, racing very well. And this Aston Martin car is a very good car, but we look at the Constructors' Championship right now. Red Bull in first place with 123 points. Dominating second place, who's Aston Martin at 65 points. Mercedes in third at 56. Ferrari at 26, really struggling right now as we see Carlos Sainz with 20 points. With 20 points. And Leclerc with 6. So really struggling right now is Charles Leclerc.
Ferrari.
Yeah. McLaren in fifth with 12. They're really struggling. At least they have a good IndyCar team right now.
Well,
but their Formula
technically,
One team.
Their first win of the season was not with IndyCar or Formula One. It was with Kyle Busch and NASCAR. I mean, hey, Max, you got to get a win somehow, bud. Got to get a win somehow. Either sponsor NASCAR, I mean, whatever. I mean, McLaren's still getting paid at the end of the day.
Alpine in sixth with 8 points. Haas in seventh with 7 points. Alfa Romeo in eighth with 6 points. And AlphaTauri and Williams at ninth and tenth with 1 point apiece. So, Every team has at least a point, so that's good to see. I know in the beginning with the 2022 car that they were talking about how Will Buxton was coming out saying that these cars are designed for more competitive racing. closer speed or closer following, closer racing order. And we see that now with every team getting at least 1 point.
Yes, sir, Owen. It's been a very close season so far between the midfield teams, and a lot of battles so far this year, especially with AlphaTauri and Williams. A lot more competitive racing. Yeah, much agreed there, Owen. Is that all the Formula One news you got, bud?
That's all we got.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. I could do it without the great Maxwell Gilley, the biggest Jeff Gordon fan I know. Love Max. Great job he does for the radio station. Committed to Ball State in the Sports Link. He's going to do a great job and do great things there. Couldn't do the show also without the one and only Owen Poley, committed to Indiana State. Bit of rivals there. Max is telling me when they is it basketball when they play?
Football. Ball State Family Day. Get ready, Owen Poley, because Ball State is going to kick the, for sure, Indiana State Sycamores. No chance.
I'm just worried about baseball season. They keep winning. They're up to I believe they beat Southern Illinois yesterday. Let me check here. Let me do my research. I think we have a little bit of time.
We got to hustle this up, man.
Yeah.
We can talk about it later, but we're going to have a marathon May 5th and 6th, ladies and gentlemen. 40 hours of music, interviews, prizes, and giveaways. Should be extremely exciting. With Maxwell Gilley, Owen Poley, Ryan Smith, Big Rob, Big Slammer, myself, Samuel Pierman, Mr. Easter. There's going to be quite a few others as well here on the marathon. If you have any questions you'd like to donate or give prizes or sponsorships, you can call Mr. Easter at 317-988-7122. That is again
7122.
That is again 317-988-7122. If you have any questions about the marathon, it should be a lot of fun, Owen. Are you pumped?
I'm so excited. And I did see some research. Indiana State did win against Southern Illinois, so they're still going strong.
So, yeah, if you are excited for this marathon, make sure to tune in May 5th and 6th, 40 hours of music. That's going to wrap it up for the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. You can listen to us on live radio from 7:45 to 8:30 every Wednesday morning. We love when you guys listen in. Makes our day. Also on audio, maybe you can check us out as well. And any of our other radio shows like the Sports Spotlight or On the Fly or Game coming up next. That's why I got to wrap this up, ladies and gentlemen. We'll catch you guys later. Big Nelly out. Thank you guys for listening to the All Gas No Brakes Radio Show.
The 96 bus is $1,075. We have $1,300.
Every day. Here at WBDG, we struggle to make ends meet. For just a small donation a day, you can help radio students.
Friday, the WBDG 57 Marathon begins May 5th.
Expect prizes. Special guests. And it ends May 6th.
Saturday.
Call now to donate at 317-988-7122. That's 317-988-7122.